need help, there's only one name that you can call upon that will help you. That is Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, it looks like half of us are still standing. We're doing pretty good.
Thank you, Lord.
Get a Bible. If you need a Bible, the usher back there hopefully can give you a Bible. And
thank you, Lord.
Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Good to see Jennifer and the little princess with her today. Good to have Josie back. She didn't bring the pussycats, but she's here by herself. And good to have Nevaeh. It's Nevaeh. Yeah. And that was cute. And you know what, Nevaeh? At least you're not with the wrong girls, you're with the right girls. That's another good thing. So good to have everybody in the house of God today. Wish there were more. But you know what? I'm glad that Jesus is here. Amen. Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse number 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now were these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye adulterers, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and then rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them, for examples, that they are written for an admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with that the temptation also make a way to escape, that you might be able to bear it." Before we move on to the next scriptural verse, I just want to point out to you that the talking about the scripture, about how people, they were with Moses, they went into the sea, they went through the sea, they were on the other side of the sea, but not everybody was together. Not everybody had the same purpose in mind. Not everybody had the same thoughts. Some murmured, some did evil in the sight of the Lord, and God took care of what was wrong and what was not good in the camp. Finally, book of Luke chapter 9, the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke chapter 9. One verse of scripture, verse number 62. "And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back," look over your shoulder, "and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. We ask you, God, that you allow your word to touch every heart and every life that is in this place. Help us, God, to focus in on what it is that you want us to do and take us where you want us to go. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. As I was contemplating the baptism of Denisha and Shireen, that's going to occur after the service today. And in my mind, I gave way to the thought of the theme, really, and as well as the flow of the messages that we have been hearing over the past couple of weeks. starting with Wednesday when I preached a message titled, Don't Open the Door. And then last Sunday afternoon, I preached a message titled, It's Time to Cross Over. And then this past Wednesday, a few days ago, Wednesday night, Brother Holland preached a message to us titled, Are You Prepared for the Journey? And as I considered then how in the process of each of our lives, who, just like Denisha and Shireen, were and are the ones who were called upon by God to repent of our sins. And from there, we were to be baptized in Jesus' name. And then, as it is God who filled us as a people with the Holy Ghost, which is His, God's promise. As I pondered all of what we as a church and really we as a people through the preached word have heard, and as well as what it is that I believe that God through each of these messages is seeking to impart to us. If you ever wonder if there comes a flow, anybody been in a service? A lot of times it happens at camp meeting. The one preacher will preach during the day service, and the nighttime speaker will just kind of take the one block and put the other block in front of it. And they build. They're going somewhere. There's a theme. And I believe God wants to, in such times, to impart to us message. A message or the messages. And to understand just what it is that God, through these messages, is saying to us. So from there, I now believe that it is also God who then impressed upon my mind the thought of how that in our coming to God, in our desire to want to live our lives for God, that what it is that I believe to be one of the most critical factors that we in our walking with God need to be aware of, not only in concerns to our being saved, but in order for us to be able to remain under the shadow of God's wings. We read in Corinthians, the book of Corinthians 10, they all were baptized. They all crossed on the sea. Everybody, it just seemed like the masses were the ones that walking forward. You see, they were all going from this end to that end. I believe there were little girls and boys. I believe that there were teenagers. There were young couples. There were adults. And there was older people. And we all of them together walked. But not everybody made it to where they needed to go. Because there were things that were happening and things that were occurring that displeased God. And if we want to keep pleasing God and we want to keep moving forward, if we want to continue to head towards that promised land to where God is going to take us, I believe that it's for you in and during your walking with God to determine in the face of any trial, hear me, any test, any temptation or the opportunity that attempts to offer to you the chance of your returning back to the state prior to that of your, by the grace of God, being saved. I don't want to go back there. I want to go towards there. Also that you in and throughout your walking with God understand that there remains one vital life-sustaining purpose or stance or position in your life that you need to maintain in order for you to retain your salvation in Christ and in order for you to be able to continue to grow in God. And see, that is for all of us, for you as an individual. The Bible says, save yourself. It's for you at all costs to never look at your neighbor there, Josie, and say, never. That's right. Silent never. I got that one. It's for you to never. Are you guys with me? Have you all gone home? Have I put you to sleep already? It's for you to never. Let's say never. Never. Oh, boy. They're still here. Never to look back. You see, I got to determine at all costs to never to look back. And that's the title of my subject message to you today. I want to share with you a message titled, Don't Look Back. Don't look back. I'm not up here this afternoon calling for you and your walking with God to deny that you had a past before Christ. Nor am I suggesting to you this day that once you begin your walking with God, that you're not to seek to retain in your minds memories. I'm not, because it is our memories, whether they're both good or bad, that will be they which remain inside of our minds and in a form of a forever record, looking back. I can tell you what I did when I was a young lad, a little boy. I can tell you some of the things when I did when I was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I can tell you things I did as a teenager. So I'm not saying you can't retain your memory, because your memory, whether it was a good experience in your life or a bad one, you won't forget it. It's a record and it's there forever. Meaning you can't just get an eraser and suddenly wipe out your memory because of what it is that you, before Christ in your life, experience. It didn't happen. It's not there. Oh, yes, it is. They say that the eyes are a window of the soul. And I believe that behind our eyes and our mind, it's like a record that goes around, and the needle sits on the record. Everything you see, everything you hear, and everything you experience is grooved into that record of your memory. So the reason we just can't wipe it out is because there's going to remain an experience and experiences that are as real to you as they'll ever be. Just like they, your experiences will be in concerns to your new walk with God. Some things you'd never experienced. Shireen, you never had the Holy Ghost before. I've never really, some of us never been in a Pentecostal church before. We've never seen people worship like we see them worship in a Pentecostal church before. Some things we just never happen. But every step with God, as God meets you in a miracle or answers your prayer or touches your life in some way, they're going to be new. They're going to be an experience, and you're not going to forget them. However, what it is that I on this day desire to leave with you as an observation, I want you to give this some thought, is if in your life, if one of this observation I'm talking about is overlooked by you, it's one that can easily bring with it a great and a very grave consequence. If I just bypass it, if I push it off and pay no attention to it, it can bring about upon you a hindrance in your life in concerns to your living your life for Jesus Christ. The hindrance I'm referring to this afternoon is one that can literally stop you from attaining any number of your desired spiritual or lifetime goals. Going to get in the way. It's just like if I want to walk from one side here to the other and I decide I want to go forward here, I can't go forward because there's something in the way. So listen to this. Having repented of your sins, being baptized in Jesus' name, and then having received the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by your speaking in an unknown tongue, as the Spirit of God gives the utterance or the ability to speak, it's from that moment on, young people, I want you to really hear that it's you who must realize that what it is that Jesus Christ has just done and is about to do, what is he had done is that he is your God has now purchased your soul with his precious blood, that blood, his blood that Jesus shed for you on Calvary. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and the first portion of verse 20, 1 Corinthians 6:19, the Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. You're bought. You belong to God. You now, not just who you were, not in the world. You might be in this world, but because of Christ, you're not of the world. Now, there's a question that once asked is one that carries within it a demand for an answer. Ready? The question is, how can any of us, any one of us in our minds, ever hope to move ahead in life, pardon me, or to be able to move forward when it's you who in your life is the one who could be found always looking back? I'm always looking back. I'm always thinking of where I came from. I'm always contemplating the things I used to do. I'm hanging my harp instead on the cloak of tomorrow in yesterday. How can I go ahead? How can I really move forward? Could you imagine walking down the road and going like this? You know, sooner or later you're going to either walk into somebody, You're going to trip on the sidewalk. You're going to fall. Something's going to. You cannot keep looking back if you want to move forward. Now, those of you who came to God or come to God as a young person, those of you who might be new to this walk with Christ, and even in concerns to those of you today who are considered seasoned saints, it's you who should now place your purpose and your focus on what is it is that ahead of you. And it's you who should now seek to leave your past and that old life behind. We're coming. You know, I can remember back then. What? When you were in bondage? When you're in bondage to the trespasses of your sins, when it was you who in your walking with God, who maybe now is the one who's somehow forgotten the fact that what it was and is that Jesus Christ through his blood and by his mercy did for you. I remember, you know, I've heard people, you know, sometimes living in the world is better than living in the church. You forgot. Something bypassed your memory. See, the thought of remembering fond memories is one thing. But what I'm saying to you today is this. It's another thing altogether when it's you who begins to yearn, to desire, to crave once again, and who is considering the thought of your returning back, looking back to your old life. For I want you to hear me. When, if and when you do, I'm gonna start looking back. You see, Shireen and Denisha, many of us today, and some not even too many years ago, we started on this journey. But if I'm going to start, you know, looking back and thinking that it's better life maybe back there, I want you to know this. Believe it or not, what it is that you in a sense are doing, I believe is you're opening yourself up to a world of temptation. And one that devil in all of his mastery knows quite well, and it is through Satan's deception and by your forgetting whose slave you were. In what form of bondage that you at one time were under, who in a moment of temptation could be the one to foolishly throw that all that God has given to you away. Not just because you were thinking about going back or looking back, but because it's the devil who, once you begin to do this, he'll be the one to set his sights on you again. I'm heading towards Calvary and cross and Christ, and he fills me with the Holy Ghost, baptized in his name, and I start on this journey. And then I realize that living for God is just not a cakewalk, but it calls for things in my life. And so I start doing this. And unbeknown to you, there's a little voice that comes and appears into your mind and says, "Hi, where you been? I see you checking out the merchandise again. I see you looking at some of the things that I held you by before." Looking back truly is what can hinder you from attaining, reaching for, and even arriving in your walk with God to where God wants you to be. Could you imagine thinking this? You know, you're going to get married. Let's say you find that special guy or you find that special girl. And you sit down at the dinner table and you go, "You know what, I remember all my old girlfriends. I miss Sally right now." I never did date a Sally, but you know. "Yeah, Jake, he was a whole lot better than you." "Steve never treated me like that." "Yeah, well, Sandra never talked to me the way you are talking to me either." Could you imagine how quick your relationship would end? It would be gone. You see, if you refuse to leave your past in your past, you know, you're missing Egypt. Come on. The world, the things in the world, even the entrapments that all were all around you and about you. And it's you who's forgotten what you were saved from. "I've been living for God for 37 years. Let me tell you, 2 net packs a day, smoking, drinking, pot and hash and speed and coke and acid and all. Oh, I miss it all." No, I don't. What did God save you from? Maybe an alcoholic's life. Maybe a dysfunctional family life. There's something God has done. You forget what he saved you. Oh, man.
This living for God, it's too straight. It's really tough. It's really hard to get. It's something that I don't want to forget. Don't look back. This living for God, you know, I remember back when.
Yeah, when.
I want you, those who do choose to look back or to keep looking back to their old life, to their past, to your fleshly desires, as they whom Satan will at one time will come calling for you.
Oh, yeah.
Don't miss this, young people. Don't miss this season, saint of God. Oh, you know, I've been in church so long, I'm smart now. No, you're not. The Bible says your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
Well, he's talking about the new people in Christ. You know, I've been in church for 10 years, 12 years, 2 years, 5. He's not talking. Oh, yes, the scripture's talking to you.
There you are. I've been waiting for you, young person. Yeah. I was wanting you to come back to your senses.
Are you ready to come back to me?
Dump the church idea. Forget this holy lifestyle. Come on. Come back to me. This time I'll take real good care of you. I believe that's why the Apostle Paul writes in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Anybody have thoughts come to your mind? Anybody have ideas come to your mind? I used this not too long ago talking to people. You walk into a store. You ever had this voice say, put it in your pocket before you paid for it. You do something wrong. This voice just comes to you, begins to talk. So the Apostle Paul writes in the book of 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Go ahead and have a drink. Just put that cigarette to your lips. It's a little pot. It's legal now, Denisha. It's legal now. We can get away with it now. No one's watching. Pastor's not there. Where's your dad anyhow? Where's your mom? Who's going to see you? Who's going to know? Casting down imaginations, bringing it into captivity. Ah, can you smell that? That was a blend I used to smoke. Yeah. You know, I sure miss being able to have a beer or a drink when I come home from work on a Friday night. Yeah. Used to be good. You see, that's why I believe that it was Jesus who took the time to have Matthew write in the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. What is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We used to, when we were young kids like this and a little older, my dad used to smoke M4 tobacco in his pipe. And we used to walk in the house and he used to enjoy that smell of tobacco. Now it makes me sick. Oh, man, back then. You know how it was. Maybe how it is for some of you. Yeah.
I miss it. I miss it.
What are you going to exchange your soul for? What are you going to trade your place in eternity for, you see? The thought of trading your riches in Christ for rags, trading them for those things in your past life, those that did not liberate you, but instead were they in your life were responsible for holding and for keeping you bound. I was bound by the demon of tobacco. I was bound by that spirit of alcohol. My tongue didn't have any more sweet words than poison. I was bound by I can't help myself. Oh, yeah, you can. And so here you are, there they are. And in your mind, you're considering, yearning in your heart as it's you begins, who maybe has begun to look back as Jesus Christ, who in his love for you is he who beckons to you Listen, once I put my spirit inside of you, once by my blood I washed your sins away, don't be foolish enough to take the chance of your losing it all. It's you who now is one who's looking back. One who maybe doesn't even understand how that by doing so, it's you who's taken the chance of throwing all away what God has given you. I've heard people say, you know, I didn't have a choice. It wasn't, nobody asked me what I thought about it in the first place. You know, you guys choose your life. I need to choose mine. Really? Well, what you need to do is you need to, you know, maybe end up in an abusive relationship. Maybe you need to end up in a detox center. Maybe you need to tour a funeral home with Brother Wilson back there. And just look at all the caskets and maybe the urns that the ashes could go into. Because you're missing out with life, you see, looking back. But when you look at what you have and what God has given you, you have the Spirit of God inside of you. That's money cannot buy it. It cannot give. This world cannot give you what God has imparted to you. Some people think that kicking up your heels in a dance hall or spending a night in a bar or giving yourself to the lustful passions of your soul. You see, that's not living. That's dying. And it's Jesus as your God who says, I'm the one who through my spirit is calling for you to don't look back. But look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Look up to me. Look up to the mountains. Don't look at the sidewalk. Don't look at all the flashing lights and the allurements of the world. Look to me, the author and the finisher of your faith. No wonder this afternoon, if it ever has been, or you who's considered the thought, if it's ever been you who's pondered the thought of what causes a person to fall away or to fail to grow. What? You ever look at people? How come they're not growing? How come their life isn't changing? What's wrong? Why is it that people, maybe you become so discouraged when you're walking with God? Why is it that that would happen? You know, what is it that causes a Christian man, woman, boy, or girl to lose out on their position with God? What is it that causes or has a potential to cause their spiritual demise? What is it that, you know, they're not here today. They're gone. Where are they? Now, before you miss what it is I'm saying to you and you consider my words that I just uttered being negative, I want you to stop and think about for a moment how it was you who was delivered from your addiction, how it was you who had your sins washed away in baptism in Jesus' name, and then being filled with the Holy Ghost by the promise and the power of God. And after all that, what is it in your life that could now go wrong? I'm a child of God. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. He transformed my life. He changed my destiny. What could go wrong? How can my life suddenly fall and how can I fail? Can I suggest to all of you this day that the one factor, the one thing that has the potential to bring about your fall is if it's you in your life who refuses to keep your eyes and your sights ahead of you. And you instead, who is the one continuously to be the one to look back. Look what the world can do. Look what they get away with. Can't do that in the church. Sure you can. Some do. Well, I'm not allowed to do that. I'll get in trouble. But look what you can do. Dwelling in your heart and your mind in the past so much, my friend, that you're never able to see your future. You know what's going to happen today when you come to church? Is God going to bless you? Is He going to touch your life? He's going to change you? Is that prayer you have this morning going to catapult you into a spiritual realm where you feel the power and the presence of God at work? And you know, is God going to fill you with the Holy Ghost today? What's going to happen in that service? Oh, I just wish I was at the park. I just wish, you know, I was back there. I didn't have to go and be faithful to the church. I just wish I could sleep in on a Sunday and never mind God. And what you're missing is your future. Now, it's not wrong for you to think back to where it was that you had come from. It's not wrong for you to reminisce in the view of the many joyful memories that you retain in your mind. No, it's not wrong. That's not wrong at all. But I suggest to all of you today is if you in your life remain back there, in your past, to the point where you can't move forward to your future, then it is wrong. It becomes wrong. Then it becomes dangerous for you, as I've already said. And it'll be your adversary with open arms. We want to welcome you back. Don't ever kid yourself. The enemy will welcome you back. When I was just a young man, of course, thank God I came into the church at 22. I started smoking at a very young age, 13, 14 years of age. I started smoking, and then I'm going to quit. And then I smoked, and then I'm going to quit. And then I went to one pack, and that's it. I halved the pack, and then I went out and got drunk, and I doubled the pack. And then I'm going to quit. You see, he'll welcome you right back. He'll bring you back to the same vices, to the same pit, to the same slavery. He'll open his arms wide and say, "Welcome home." See, if the truth were told, many of our past and our former lives and lifestyles were lies our mistakes. It's there that lies our shortcoming, even our failures, and it's God who is the one who wants to thrust you and to take you to where it is he desires for you to go. It wasn't good back there, can I tell you? Flat out. I was on a road right to hell. I was lost, and I wasn't going anywhere back then. Before Calvary, before God filled me with the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't tell you I had 1 year that I could be proud of. I didn't have a good upbringing. I didn't have good parents in that sense where they were drinking and doing all this stuff. I didn't have any of that. Oh, man, don't you miss it back? No. Before Christ, you can have that life. I never spoke in tongues when the Holy Ghost came upon me before. I never felt forgiven until I knelt on an altar and God forgave me. I never realized the power of baptism until I went down into that watery grave. You can have what's back there. I want to keep moving forward. I think some of us need to let the old fires of your life be those that frankly just go out. Some things you just need to lay it down and let it go. Can I tell you? When I was young, I was verbally and physically abused. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you that as a teenager, I got into alcohol and drugs. And it was horrible. It was just bad. I can't even tell you. Can you tell me what Jesus did for you? Oh, you mean when he forgave me? Oh, when he washed my sins away? When he filled me with the Holy Ghost and he put joy in my soul and I never ended up in a detox center and I didn't have to end up, locked up somewhere in a jail cell? Oh, what do you want to talk about that? Can I tell you about how bad my life was back then? Can I tell you? Can I tell you how bad it was, brother? Can I say how rough it is? I walk the street sometimes and you look at people and they're less fortunate than we are. We look at people whose lives are a mess and whose bodies are racked with diseases and handicaps. And you know what I say? Count your lucky stars that wasn't you. Thank God for your eyes. Thank God you can raise your hands to Jesus Christ and worship. Thank God I can walk into the house of God. Thank God I can open up my mouth and I can worship Jesus Christ and the Spirit and the Shekinah glory of God is what falls down. Thank God for all these things. I can't thank God for my path. I can only thank God for what he took me from my path and catapulted me into my future. I want you to know it's the devil's job in the life of a new saint of God, in the life of a seasoned saint of God, to try to get you and to keep you where? In your past. He wants to keep you there. The victim mentality. We're not victims. We've been washed by the blood, sanctified by the Spirit. Anybody ever had this happen to you? Come on now, you weren't really delivered. You'll never change. In fact, you can't change because you're... Your life is a failure, and so are you. God really hasn't forgiven you, so why don't you settle right down and just come back to me? You know what you're missing? Do you know what you're missing? Cirrhosis of the liver, cancer of the lungs, tube stuck in my throat so I can breathe? Does anybody want to trade your vocal cords for a little machine that goes, I just want to tell you that I can. Oh, have another smoke. Take another drink. Just go into your life. Come on. Don't. You know what you're missing? You have the opportunity to die like anybody else outside of God. Come on. Well, sinners die. Yeah, so did people in the church die. But they die with a promise, and they don't die in their past. They die, and they are ushered up to glory. There's a table set up there, young people. Not behind you, ahead of you. Having experienced the power of Almighty God, once it's used, tasted of heavenly things, don't look back. You hear me? Don't be foolish enough to allow your past mistakes to become your present day chains and hindrances. Don't allow it to hold you bound. We sing that song, He Set Me Free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. See, God taking you from where you were to where you are, and where now God is going to take you further to where He wants you to be. Today is the day you can dream big, not in how it was like back then in the world, but how it's going to be as you sell out your life, your soul, your heart, your mind, everything about you to Jesus Christ. When I live for Him, He'll keep His hand upon me. The Bible says daily He loadeth us with benefits, every day with Jesus. Denisha, Shireen, I want you to hear this. Living your new life in Christ from this day forward, your successes, what it is God will be able to do with you and where He'll take you will depend upon you. Anybody sit in a service? Let me just throw this out there. Anybody sit in a service? Get your hands up right now. You worship God or else. You better sing these songs or I'm kicking you out. Is that how we come to church? In chains and bondage? Do I have to pray? Do I have to sing? Do I have to feel the presence of God? Not if you don't want to. But if you look onward towards the mountain of your present onto where you in your life and your future now in Christ is going to be, God will be the one who'll take you further. He'll take you higher. Let's take a turn. Let me say this. Don't you allow yourself to be the one, even in within your heart, of your current experiences. I don't want you saints, you senior ones, to listen, miss this. Don't be the one who dwells on the blessing that was what God had done back then in your life, in your past. You need to be the one who looks for to be the one to open that door wide open and say, God, what are you going to do for me today? What are you going to bring me in your bountiful blessings for this next day? What's going to happen in my life today? What's going to happen in my tomorrows? I can't wait for Wednesday. You know why? Church. I can't wait for Tuesday. You know why? Because it's prayer. I can't wait for next Sunday. Why? It's church. What are you so excited about? Just church. Just church. You know who's going to be there? Who's going to be there? Shireen and Denisha? Maybe Nevaeh? Oh, yeah. No, Jesus is going to be there. My brothers and sisters in Christ are going to be there. I'm just looking forward to what God's going to do. I want you to know that nostalgia is never honest. For what some of here today say I experienced in my past might be fine, but I want you to hear this. If you're going to ever experience and discover what God has waiting for you in your tomorrow, the many days to come, you got to determine. Don't look back. You hear me? Don't look back.
Amen.
I'm asking you to do yourself a favor today, whoever you are, wherever you are in Christ, every one of you. Don't look back. Did you hear me? Finish your yawning. Don't look back. Don't look back. Don't look back. Did you hear me? I said, don't look back. The Apostle Paul writes as we close today, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before. Forgetting those things that... Well, last week I really didn't feel God. This week you can. Let's stand. Amen. I believe waiting for us as a people, as a church, are new victories, our new successes, our new beginning. Where are they? They're just over the horizon. What does the scripture say? Don't you say that there are yet 4 months and then come with the harvest? Jesus said, I tell you to look up, open your eyes, look up on the fields, for they're white and they're ready to harvest. You see, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Today, you can say all the mistakes. You know how many times I failed God in the past? Don't ask. But you know what? I don't live back in my failures. I live towards my successes. Anything.
Oh, the church is moving on. Church is moving on.
Are you moving on? Are you going forward? Are you ready to let go of yesterday and pick it up for today? We're moving ahead. We're going to take that baton. We're in a rally, a relay race. That's what it is. And the baton is going to be passed to every one of you. Every one of us has that chance to take it and to run with it and not to put it down. Hallelujah. Don't look back. Don't look back. You hear me? Don't look back. Look up. Look up. Your redemption draws
nigh.
Here we are, an army. Here we are moving forward. Here we are trusting God. Here we are believing God for our miracles. We all pass through the water. Everybody's got to repent. Everybody must be baptized in Jesus' name. Each one of us, God will fill the Holy Ghost. But where are you going to take it? Where are you going to go with it? How far will you allow God to draw you close to Him? How much? Are you ready to sell out? Are you ready to give Him everything? Are you ready to go like this? I've started here and I'm going there. I'm moving forward. I'm not looking back. Let's pray. Jesus, I'm asking today. You see these young people, God, you see in their hearts, their lives. God, they need you. They need in their lives to understand. Seasoned saints of God should never forget where we came from, what you set us free from. We need to understand, God, that we're moving ahead. We're moving forward. You're always going to help us to grow. We're going to take another step closer to you, go another step higher in you. Asking God for your touch today.
Thank you, Lord,
for your hand in these young people's lives. God, as we take a journey, we begin a journey today in Jesus' name.
Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
The support system, the church, is that body. Body that's integral. We are going to have to pray for these young people. We're the ones going to have to help these young people. We need to be the example to these young people in worship and prayer. We need to back them up and support them. If they're going to make it, if you're going to make it, you need your support system.